We're in our 8 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I know what the youth was thinking.
Dylan, the Cranberries are not Halloween music.
I know, but the zombie part, maybe that's where he was going. I'm just trying to get into the youth's head.
I thought it would be appropriate, but
I mean, it's a good song.
And I do love Zombie, the song. I do love it. It's good.
Oh, it's a great song. It's just not.
It's not
you
necessarily
consider Halloween. All right. Well, it's time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. Give us your thoughts. And if you would eat a pickle sandwich or the Pickle Witch from Jimmy John's, or you want to give us your thoughts on a game plan for Micah Parsons and Deron Bland, if those guys are back for the Cowboys this weekend as they face your Falcons. So we can go to the lines now. We've got Tevin in Peachtree City. What's going on, Tevin?
Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning.
With Billy.
Sir.
Mike Mafia in the house.
I knew it was coming. Let's go.
Should not have spoke to Tevin.
Quick question. For you guys, for me, this year, Kirk Cousins has been playing as a top 3 quarterback in the NFC, but who are you guys' top 5 quarterbacks in the NFC based on this year?
Gosh.
Goff would be up there.
Yeah, that's a good call. Jared Goff has been phenomenal this year.
Let me think about it.
I'm so, you know what my problem is right now? Is I have been so stuck.
Brock Purdy would be one for me. I know that he's not a popular choice, well, but he's a gamer.
Hey, yeah.
Until the last 3 weeks, I think Baker has been one of the top until the last few weeks because Baker's now thrown, I would say, seven interceptions in 3 games. So I think he's probably taken down.
You got to mention Kirk Cousins' name in that as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a given for us. We're going to put him at the top, right?
Jaden Daniels has been phenomenal, MVP candidate. Look, Sam Darnold has been pretty good himself. And Geno's up there. Geno's been good. NFC though,
who we're not putting on the list and who will probably be up there soon if they keep playing like they did last week. Matthew Stafford, the little resurgence. So I don't know, man, because I know that going into the year, it was not a great crop. You know, you're looking at going but there's been some good performances, and I'm with you. I'm putting Kirko up near the top. For sure, at least in the top 3.
I think you could still have had Goff going into the year based on what they did last season, but I don't know if anyone could have predicted like what he's doing right now because the accuracy.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. Tiff, I would say this. Goff, like you said, Darnold, Geno, Baker, and Kirk, to me, would be, along with Jaden Daniels, those guys have at times or consistently through the year kind of played – as well, if not better than anybody else. I mean, Baker Mayfield's got 21 touchdowns and 9 picks through 8 games. And the 9 picks is rough, but he is getting you in the end zone. So
Kyler Murray's also been pretty good recently as well. Kind of just thought about him. So
all right. Let's keep it moving. Sorry, this is the good distraction that you're allowed to have on this show. Day Day just walked in his Halloween costume. So
you know who he is?
We'll have to get him. Yay, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Dude, I walked out a minute ago.
I'm good.
When he had first got here, and I had not seen him, and he was facing away from me getting something out of the cabinet. And, like, for just a split second, I was like,
who the heck
is this dude up in our office getting something out of somebody's cabinet? Like, what's going on? And then he turned around, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, he looked like, I was like, somebody's limo driver's up in here. You know what I mean? And then he turned around, and I was like, oh, it's Day Day. Kind of scared me for a minute. I thought I was going to have to punch somebody or something.
Let's go back to the lines. We got Tinker waiting on us at Kennesaw State. What's going on? Tinker, you there?
It's a spring nice kind of day.
I love it.
Fwum, fwum,
fwum. Only because, you know, it's a good morning when you get to watch somebody get busted speeding in the school zone.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, it was good seeing you guys a couple of weeks ago. Buffalo Wild Wings finally meet you, Mike.
Yep.
One day I get to meet you, Tiff. I got 2 wake-up calls real quick. First one, the Falcons can do anything they want to do as long as they stop getting cute like Kyle did at that goal line. And I know when I played and you did something like that, that was a minimum 100-yard bear crawls with your pads on.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
You know, and then my second one, other than Saints fans, Yankee fans' tears are the sweetest in sports. And after what them two boys did in the seats, they deserved that loss. And I loved watching them crying last night.
I love it.
We were talking about this earlier today when the show started. And we were like, I don't hate any teams, but, man, I do not mind seeing the Yankees lose.
Let me tell you something. The glorification of those two clowns by ESPN, this guy writes a story for ESPN, Tiff, basically talking about how they did it for Yankees fans and how they should – they, you know, basically glorifying them, glorifying the fact that they assaulted a Major League Baseball player. I don't know where the hell we are anymore when we're glorifying two
– it's not acceptable.
Two duds in season ticket seats. They're just duds. They're dud human beings. I'm sorry. Yeah. That is a dud human being behavior.
I completely agree. And the fact that we would even mention it as being acceptable means it's just going to be more likely it happens again in the future,
and that's
which is unfortunate.
That's such a good point, Mike. You're not wrong there. That's funny.
That's right.
That's the precedent we're setting when we glorify clowns like that.
Yeah. Gronkowski did the same thing yesterday. Rob Gronkowski was like, I know this guy from college. He's always been that kind of Yankees fan, so good for him that he got to shine in his moment. I'm like, dude,
how do you think Gronk?
So brutal.
How do you think Gronk would reacted if something some way would have happened that way to Tom Brady or him on the game?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question because Gronk would have probably just headbutted the guy and
Throw
a football at him. But it is what it is.
Back to the lines we go. We got Squid Billion.
Yo,
good morning.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir.
But here's the thing, right? Like, everybody talks about a British accent. We all talk about London and, you know, because in the Cockney accent, because it's easy, it's stereotypical, it's a little bit exaggerated, right? But the whole area over the UK is so diverse, especially when you talk about how big it is. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different dialects out there. You've got Essex, you've got Birmingham, you got even Scottish and Welsh and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of options you got there, but... Yeah, it's fun to mess around with, but yeah, I just thought I'd call in, talk a little bit about it because it's fun to speak in that accent. But yeah, you guys have a good day. Love the show. Enjoy it.
That's a pretty solid accent.
You don't say.
I don't really care about their.
Let me tell you something.
So,
I don't know anything he just said because he spoke it all in that English accent stuff. I don't know anything
he
said, but I bet it was interesting.
It was good. It was well done.
Good accent.
I don't think that anybody in England really cares about our dialects over here, and so on the flip side, not worried about it.
Well, except for I told y'all at the Olympics that I got called out by Mateta, one of the players from France. Where are you from? Where's your accent from? But as a world traveler, I should tell you that, his accent was,
it was spot
pretty
on.
Good.
Really good, yeah.
Well,
you know what's going to tee off on that?
I, too, have traveled the world. I have been to London myself, so I have traveled the world like Tiff. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that after going to Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, and England, that I would say that was a stand-up accent by Squid Billion.
You cannot count Canada.
Yes, you can.
Mexico. You can't.
Is it another country, Tiff?
Why can't you count Mexico?
Because they're on our continent. You can't
I've been to the Bahamas, too. I gotta say that one. I've been to Bahamas, too.
I actually never been to Europe, but I've been to Asia and all that kind of stuff. So
Asia? What did you go to Asia for?
Went to Japan. Went to Singapore. Yeah, went over there to watch the Super Bowl.
You watched the Super Bowl? They never had a Super Bowl over there.
No.
Went over there to watch the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. You went and watched the Super Bowl. They never had a Super Bowl over there.
Let's get Haitian Dave in. Good morning.
Mike's Mafia in the building.
Hey, let's go.
Sorry for the absence, man. Mike, how you doing, brother? How you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
There you go. Tiff, how you doing, Miss Tiff?
I'm doing great.
And then we got what up, Squid? How you feeling, bro?
I'm rolling.
I ain't gonna talk for you, man.
Oh, man, what's up,
man? Maybe quick, because the old ball and chain's calling on the other line. But those Yankee fans, I mean, that's atrocious. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That was ridiculous. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Don't touch that, man. Don't put your hands on that, man. Yeah. His body, never mind, whatever. Okay.
You better take that call before you get in trouble.
I ain't worried about it. Falcons fan.
Yeah.
We need to show up at the bid. I'm sorry.
Let's go.
We need to show up at the bid. I need all hands on deck.
Best call of the week. Best call of the week right there.
Soon to be single Haitian Dave.
Yeah.
Calling in a lot more.
He's a world traveler, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's been to Haiti and back.
I know that's part of North America, but you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, but...
World traveler, too.
I am a world traveler, Tiffany. I've been across the pond and to our bordering countries. Jamaica.
There you go.
Canada.
Attaboy.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
Mexico.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You have that. Unless you hold on to that.
That's right.
And you can think about all the places that you've been.
I know my truth.
As we go to break. But we've got plenty more football on the way when we get back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. All right, we've got some big college football games on deck this weekend. We can start with Georgia, Florida. As I've been told, you have to say.
Florida, Georgia, yeah. Florida, Georgia game.
How are you going to be feeling after this weekend?
F comes before G. I'll be fine because hopefully we'll have a Falcons win. No, wait, what? The only thing that can change my mindset at where I'm at today about the college football season as a guy that pulls for Florida is if Florida was the win. Like, if Florida loses to Georgia, nothing changes about what I think. Now, if they get beat, 70-3, I would say maybe the progress I thought had been made has not been made by Billy Napier and the program. But I'm not going to sit here and just lie to you. I don't expect Florida to win. If Florida won, I'd be sitting here Monday morning saying I'm shocked. Because I think Georgia, in every way, shape, or form, is a better football team. And I'm not sure anybody that doesn't. And it has nothing to do with, you got to have faith in your team. That has nothing to do with it. I'm realistic. Georgia has recruited better for the last 10 years. Georgia has better coaching for the last 10 years. Georgia's had better – they've had better facilities. Everything has been better about Georgia's program the last 10 years than Florida's. And there's not there, – that is – reality. That's not a fan. That's not me just playing down to what Florida is. That is reality of where these two programs are. And I would dare anyone to tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, there's a couple of different ways to look at this. First of all, Kirby Smart was very complimentary of the way Florida has played recently, right? They're playing like one of the best teams in the country or the best teams in the SEC or whatever it is. I think that's interesting to think about because I think you've probably seen that. I don't know if they're playing like one of the best teams in the conference, but he was very complimentary in saying that. And I think there's a lot to be said about the coaching job that Billy Napier has done recently.
Well,
right. And
we so can listen to Kirby say that because exactly what you're talking about is exactly what he had to say.
You know, I think they're playing their best football. I think they have a really, really good roster. A lot of players we've recruited and recruited against them. But they're playing their best football, and obviously a talented group, really a lot of great size across the front on the offensive and defensive lines.
So Kirby, again, paying some respect to Billy Napier and the squad where they haven't even had the best season, as Bo, I'm sure you know very well.
Yeah.
But still, that's kind of what you expect from Kirby Smart, because that's what he does.
And he knows Billy, and he understands the situation Billy's in, and Mike, I think you're right. I think the progress, the team I saw play September whatever against Miami at home is not the team I saw play against Kentucky at home last week. It's not even the team I saw, against A&M in week three is not the team I've seen the last few weeks. They have progressively gotten better. I'm not sure if you heard this. I know you know some people now. I heard that basically during the bye week, I think it was Rusty Manziel on the Steakhouse this other day that I don't want to credit him if I'm wrong, but basically during the bye week, Billy was like, none of this is working. We're blowing up what we've been doing, and we're going to do it this way. Yeah. And you have to challenge these kids. I just don't. That doesn't mean I think they're going to go in there and even play four-quarter game with Georgia.
Well, the question I was wanting to ask was, do you think even with a close loss that Billy Napier can salvage his job
at
Florida?
Yeah, I do. I think right now Billy Napier is closer to being the head coach at Florida today than he has at any point in the last 6 months in reality. And that sounds
weird. I agree with you.
People are like, what do you mean 6 months? Because basically that Miami game, if they didn't win that game or play well, he was on the chopping block. And then he had a dud against A&M. Look, it turns out that two of your three losses are to teams that are, what, 13 or 14 and one? I mean, there's one loss
they were
between.
Have a tough schedule.
And and the other one is Tennessee. I'm sorry. You've lost three games. The three games you've lost are the teams with two losses combined. Okay? Tennessee's got one loss. A&M's got one loss. Miami's got one loss. And they're all in the top freaking 10.
Yeah.
So the reality is you haven't lost to bad teams. You just lost in a bad way to two of them. And then you went on the road. The Tennessee game was a big turning point to me for the Florida program.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And you said this the other day. You said you hate the word eye test. But the bottom line is, a lot of times this season when they have lost, they have failed the eye test. But that has not been recently, right? That, I think they, in terms of the eye test and getting better in the coaching job that he is doing, I think he has started to kind of pass the eye test here recently. And I think it's important that Kirby Smart kind of noted that in his comments about the game.
The reason I don't like the term or the phrase eye test is because it's very broad. I don't know what do you mean eye test? Are you looking at a score and saying, well, they played that game close because of the score, and that game was not close, so they must have sucked there and been – because that's not always how it works.
You just think there's multiple definitions when people talk about the game and talk about eye tests.
Yeah.
Multiple definitions.
What I've watched is – I've watched play calling change, okay? This is a team that suddenly went from dink and dunk to – and it's not all about who's at quarterback, but it's about – last year, all they did was throw intermediate to short passes. They had like six explosive plays all of last year in the passing game alone, Florida did. This year, it is at least, I think it's tripled. Hell, Lagway was completing, I think he only had like eight or nine completions, and he had 200-something yards. It was like a 37-yard clip per pass attempt or completion. So they've progressed there. They've started winning the line of scrimmage where they're running the football better. Defensively, they have tackled better. They have also not allowed teams to run as well as them. So there's so many facets of the game that they have improved in. When I hear people say, I just don't know what are your eyes seeing?
Right. Would you rather them use stats?
I'd rather them explain what they're saying. Eye test to me is a cop out.
So you feel like people just say it.
They say it
and don't back it up with anything. Because I always interpret it as who you've played and maybe the environments that you've played in. That's kind of what I would. I don't use that terminology, but that's kind of what I think of when I hear people say, oh, they passed the eye test. They were able to beat such and such on the road, or they face, you know, XYZ. That's how I look at it.
I'll give you my definition of it because obviously I look at it a different angle as we all do. The numbers of like Alabama's secondary at the Tennessee game weren't bad, right? But you also look at anybody who watched the game knows that Nico Iamaleava missed like five wide open streaking wide receivers down the field. And so I'm looking at it going, yeah, the numbers for the secondary looked improved almost after Bama played Tennessee. But my eyes are telling me that the stats should have been way worse than that. And I think that that is one of the things I take into contest when I say eye test. Like, you might trip a guy, or he might trip over his own feet at the line of scrimmage, or am I Nate Landman meeting a guy in the hole and blowing the play up? That is passing the eye test to me.
And I think I think when you can explain the eye test.
Right.
Put it
in context.
But when you just say, well, the eye test says they're not that good of a team.
I just retire the use of that word.
Yeah, on this show, I think we can. But I don't mind it. But the reality is I've seen Florida get better. But when you look across the field, Georgia just played the best game all season. That might be the best game they've played since the middle of last year. I don't count the Florida State game. That game was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Georgia looked every bit as the premier program in college football against Texas. And they still didn't play their best game offensively.
You're coming off of three wins in a row since you lost to Alabama, and you're also coming off a bye week as you go into this game. So I think they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. I know Kirby Smart did talk about how they took some time to reflect and kind of look at who this team is. And so maybe we'll see them back in the SEC championship game on the way if they keep rolling like this.
Yeah, I know we got to get out of here, and we'll talk a little bit of Falcons before Life of Squid next segment. But can you really judge Billy Napier and the coaching job he's done when he starts a quarterback in his third start going against one of the most talented defenses in college football, one of the best defensive coordinators in the last 20 years of college football? Like, that's the thing for me. I think Florida right now, Mike, is good enough to catch somebody in this last, this tough stretch. Who they do it with, who they catch, is going to be the telltale.
What kind of Cowboys team will the Falcons get on Sunday? We'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
I was just thinking, Mike posed a question to me about fantasy football in the break about our fantasy football team that we managed together. And I was just thinking, and I don't want to say what I was thinking out on the air because the guys we play against in this league listen to this show, and I don't want to give away my thoughts and my strategy and everything, but now you get mad at me. You get mad at me when I look at above your head at the TV and I get distracted. And that's what you just did with that question. Because now I'm distracted. Now I'm like thinking over here, like, hey.
So you're blaming me because you can't switch the topic fast enough in your head.
Yeah, no,
talk
I'm
about
just
the Atlanta Falcons
No. It's not. It's because you asked me something and you made a point, and it got me going down another road where that's what I want to talk about, but I can't because these guys listen and they're going to use it against me. So what I would do is
the question was
No.
So you don't.
I want to talk Falcons.
Want to share your question because you think your secrets will be how are y'all doing?
Is Travis Kelce tradable? Is the question?
Come on.
Is he tradable in fantasy football? That's the question.
Yeah, he's tradable. He's absolutely tradable.
Because we're talking about it doesn't mean that we have to accept a subpar offer from any of these guys. I'm just saying, is Travis Kelce, should he be on the market right now? High upside, but you know, if you could get a player that's going to be good for the next 6 years, I think that it's probably worth
looking
at.
You let me know if you get a text message during the show. Someone's going to call now that you're...
Are we a game above 500?
I think we're 4-4.
Okay, we're at 500.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Hmm. We've had some ups and downs.
We just won by like 100 points.
Yeah, we did. We're hitting our stride.
Yeah.
Hitting your stride.
That's right.
The Falcons hitting their stride.
Offensively.
Could they continue to hit their stride offensively against the Cowboys, especially when there might be a chance that the Cowboys are going to get back Micah Parsons or Deron Bland?
I am not worried about one of them. Micah Parsons worries me more. I think Micah Parsons is an elite player in the NFL and healthy. He worries. Deron Bland's a good player. He's not elite to me. I see Micah Parsons as an elite pass rusher, and at a speed guy off the edge at times, that does worry me because that's something, you know. Caleb has been banged up over the last two or three weeks. And traditionally speed rushers give him a little bit of trouble. All of that said, I think McGarry might be having his best season. Knock on wood, Dylan, run over. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, recently Caleb McGarry. You can tell he's not at full health, but in pass protection, he's actually looked really good. His hands have looked really good. He's got tight hands, good punch. He's hitting guys in the chest. Now, a lot of that has probably a little bit to do with some of the rushers he's faced, but I would be curious. I think the thing for me is if we were to face a Parsons, which I don't think we will, but if we were to face a Parsons, how would the game plan be different than when we faced T.J. Watt in week one? Because it's very obvious, and we talked about it till we're blue in the face, the week one game plan was not ready for that. And I think that there were some lessons learned on all sides, coordinator, coaches, quarterback, tackle, offense, whatever it is. So I would be curious to see what the game plan would look like for that. But I'm with you. I think Caleb McGarry, even less than 100%, has had one of his best stretches of his career here recently. He's playing good football.
Cowboys are 3-4 now on the season, and it's been a lot of ups and downs for their team. what kind of team are they going to get? Are we going to get when they face the Falcons on Sunday? Here's Coach Raheem Morris when he joined our Dukes and Bell.
That's what the growth mindset is all about, right? You have those losses versus Seattle, and you better take those things and learn those lessons. I think I said a couple weeks ago, every loss you've ever had, you get a lesson from. And we better take that lesson from Seattle and apply it to this week, right? Come out ready to go, fired up, not holding it. You can get humbled in this league really quick.
Sure.
Right. And,
sure.
And we all know that. Like, and this is Dallas Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and guys that play at a high level all the time. And if you think any otherwise, you're fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's a Dak Prescott believer, a CeeDee Lamb believer. And the thing is, I think Dak Prescott's really good, and I've been a Dak Prescott fan, and it seems like there's a game coming at some point this year where he goes off. I just don't want it to be this weekend, right? I just hope that it's not Mercedes-Benz
Stadium. No, you don't want to be this weekend. I mean, I'm a Dak guy, too. I think Dak is I am at the point now where I am sick of the Dak hate, and I hear a lot of people do it. It's easy to knock him because he's the Cowboys quarterback. They haven't had success in the playoffs, but there's a lot of teams in the league that you don't think Indianapolis wouldn't take Dak Prescott? Is the stability that Dak Prescott's had over the last 8-9 years? I mean, there's a lot of teams. Cleveland, there's a lot of teams that would take a Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a lot of guys are built like me and Dak, Dylan. That's right. Well, W Sauce. Little Owl Inn Lager, craft beer, New Realm, Kennesaw State, official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. And don't forget, Tiffany, November 25th, the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Mike, we don't have a lot of spots available. In fact, if you have a foursome and you want to sign up, you better do it right now because there are only enough room for a couple of foursomes.
Yeah,
a couple of foursomes.
Yesterday for another couple of foursomes, didn't we?
That's right. The number is dwindling. It's very small. It's a very small number. Very small. So get over to the 929 Game website. Go to the events page. Tiff.
You know, we had the British accent earlier. You went straight Cinderella Man guy on the mic for the call in the boxing match in the 20s right there. Oh, yeah, Max Bear is going to throw a right hand.
20s announcer. Mike Bell does a good 20s announcers. And how we are coming down the stretch. Okay. We're down the stretch to the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Only a few more days ago.
Sir, can you say on task?
What? You know, thank you, Tiffany, because some people on the show accuse me of not being able to stay on task, and then they take me right off task.
But I just asked you to.
There are many, many names Will Smith in the world, and two of them have won the World Series in the last 5 years. All seriousness, Will Smith, the catcher, won for the Dodgers in 2020. And then Will Smith, the pitcher, won for the Braves in 2021. 2022, he won for the Houston Astros. 2023, Will Smith, the same Will Smith, was on the Texas Rangers. Our Will Smith, Georgia-born.
Okay.
And then Will Smith and the Dodgers went back. So the fifth straight season that a Will Smith has won the World Series, and not the Will Smith that's getting jiggy with it.
All right, thank you for the clarification.
Of course, I'm not sure if he gets jiggy with JD anymore because that seems to be on ice. But
that was a wonderful life of Squid.
Don't forget to go sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, Tiff. Pets for vets.
When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.